Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50 and time now for our first look at the commodity markets for this Thursday morning with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending November 29th. They look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 8.7, next year, 4.8. Corn this year, 41.7. And soybeans this year, 29.5. And next year, 7.0. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Alan Dearden of Ag Review. Early calls for cash hog prices today are mostly steady, but there are a few weaker tones sprinkled in as well. Terminals are called mostly steady, with tops from $31.50 to $35. Peoria called steady today, with the top price of $31.50. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, December 5th, negotiated swine purchases were $15,232. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $41 to $53.50. The weighted average was $51.38, a loss of 19 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $31.88 to $42.50, and the weighted average was $39.21. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $17,745. The base price range was $41.75 to $56. The weighted average, $52.12, a gain of 39 cents from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $34.92 to $43.50, and the weighted average was $40.68. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And first of all, we'll look at the South American weather. And no big changes from what we've said the last couple of days. The only change really is that maybe some rain over the next week will get a little farther north in Brazil than what we were indicating the last couple of days. So that could help out parts of Minas Gerais, Goiás, and perhaps even some sections of southwestern Bahia. Although those northeastern areas, you may recall, were bone dry for a couple months at the start of the wet season. So delays in planting there. And then they did get some rain over a two-week period before turning dry during the past week. And it appears that some of those areas are going to stay dry, but maybe not as much of that area as what we had indicated the last couple of days, as the rain at least gets a little closer from the south and west. So Bahia still remains a state where there's concern with dryness over the next 10 days, and parts of northeastern Goiás and northern Minas Gerais probably will get some showers here over the next 5 days or so, but maybe a few dry pockets there, but a little improved outlook there compared to the past several days. Now, in Brazil, many areas have had decent rainfall of late, and it looks like showers are going to continue over the central production areas of Brazil, and that would include Mato Grosso do Sul, also southern sections now of Minas Gerais, and into Sao Paulo and northern Paraná. Those are areas that will probably get some decent rainfall, and then there will still be some scattered showers in southern Paraná and Santa Catarina, but as you go south, rainfall amounts will be less. So another area in Brazil where there's concern about dryness starting up would be Rio Grande do Sul, the southernmost state of Brazil. And it doesn't look like much in the way of rain there over the next week, and with La Nina in the Pacific Ocean, there are some concerns that dryness could become a persistent problem there. And that segues nicely right into Argentina. It appears that Argentina is going to remain mostly dry for another week to 10 days at least. And some rain will definitely be needed there, or there will be problems with the corn and soybean crops in Argentina. earlier this week, some isolated showers and thunderstorms. So some places got needed topsoil moisture. Other places are dry. So there are dry pockets. And the concern of dryness will continue in Argentina. And there, too, with La Nina in progress, a strong La Nina, which we're now getting into here, does correlate with a bias toward dryness in Argentina and southern Brazil. So that is a long-term concern. Now, it does look like over the next week, it's not going to be 100% dry in Argentina. A few isolated showers and thunderstorms will pop up from time to time. The best chance for those will be in Buenos Aires and Entre Rios and also southern portions of Santa Fe into southern Cordoba. But their coverage is not even going to reach 50% in those areas, so that is an area of concern. Now, back stateside in the hard red winter wheat belt, over the next week there will be precipitation, and more of it will be coming later this month as well, as we have an active jet stream. In the far southern areas, there'll be rain. As you get into West Texas and portions of Oklahoma and Kansas, there will be some icing and a little snow north of there. And the Midwest Corn Belt, we'll have snow coming over the middle of the belt, Illinois and Indiana, overnight tonight. Heavier amounts to our west across portions of Iowa and northern Missouri. They could be picking up 3 to 6 inches of snow, generally 2 to 4 inches here and 1 to 3 as you get over to Indiana. That'll pass, and then over the weekend we'll start to get some light precipitation followed by potentially heavier precipitation early next week, and a large portion of the area could get an ice storm. So that's something that we'll be monitoring, and that could cause transportation problems across much of the Midwest and the Central Plains early next week. That's the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat, make that March wheat rather, open at 909 and a quarter, down a quarter. Last trade down 4.5 at the Board of Trade. December wheat open at 855, down 8.75. Last trade down 4.75. July 770, down 1.75. Last trade down 3.25. December corn opened at 393.5, down a half. Last trade down 2.75. July 429, down 1.25. Last trade down 3.25. December 434, down 1.75. Last trade down 2.25. January beans open at 1097, down 2.5. Last trade down 10.5. March 1116.5, down 1. Last trade down 11. July 1125.25, down 6.5. Last trade down 11.75. November 1034, down 4.75. Last trade down 9.75. December soybean meal open at 299.60, down a dollar. Last trade down a dollar. December soybean oil open at 4502, down 23. Last trade down 95. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Corn export sales this week were pretty good, but when measured against the stellar 70s that we've been seeing over the last several weeks, maybe not so good in the trader's mindset?
Oh, I think that they will not be looked at it favorably. The low end of the trade estimates was at 43 million bushel. We came in at 41.7, so we were just under that. And as you pointed out, the back off from the huge exports that we've seen, including 72.5 million bushel the previous week, I think is going to weigh on this corn. South Korea, Taiwan were the buyers, very normal buyers. The thing that I think that's affecting this corn market is weather in South America. The eyes are really out there. And also a little bit of evening up in front of Tuesday's USDA reports. We'll be down 2, maybe steady in the back months.
Looks like beans, if you include this year and next year, were pretty good.
Yeah, they were pretty good. China took a third of that, too, so it continues to be a big buyer. Part of that was a change from unknown destinations. The thing I think that's noteworthy on the beans is how strong the meal has. It wasn't overnight particularly strong, but we did see a nearby close over $300 a ton. And that says to me that there's some fun money going into that meal. Technically, it looks very strong. But this dry weather in South America is also a push higher. Steady, I just think we've got to take a little break. Steady, maybe 2 to 4 lower, something along that line. Not a lot of pressure in this market, but we'll see a little bit.
What do you think of wheat export sales at 13.5?
Wasn't very attractive at all. It came in the middle of the trade estimates. Mexico took about a third of it. We'll be down 2 to 6 cents. The thing that's noteworthy is that already we're at 90% booked of USDA projections on these exports.
It's just amazing at this point of the year.
Yeah, it is. And Ed did point out that pretty good chances for some precipitation, even if it's ice, next week in the southern plains early in the week.
Turn your attention over to CME Livestock.
We'll be looking at a little bit firmer cattle market. We got overdone yesterday. Maybe down 10 to 50 cents. A lot of cash optimism, I think, probably is a little bit overblown. The wholesale market doesn't look that strong. Hogs up 10, maybe as much as 30, 35 points. I think we've turned the corner on this hog market on the bigger picture.
Ah, finally turned it. Thank you very much for your information today, Ellen.
Thanks, Dave.
Ellen Dearden of AgriView. She is in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.